Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Sharon Wilcox is the executive in charge of production at the Warner Theater in Torrington, Connecticut. A Jane of all trades for theater, she has done it all, from acting, directing, producing, the technical aspect of lighting, sound, choreography, in fact, anything theater, Sharon Wilcox has done it. We will talk to Sharon about her career in theater, how it all began, and about the upcoming productions she's involved with. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Sharon Wilcox here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Sharon Wilcox, thank you for being here at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio.
No, thank you so much for having me.
This is such a pleasure and an honor to have you here. I'm a huge fan of your work. You do so much in theater. It's fair to say that you have irons in the fire every week, every day of the year, it seems, that you're involved in something involving theater.
Absolutely. I have a hard time myself keeping them straight every once in a while.
That interest in theater, that must have started at an early age. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Very much. I actually started taking dance lessons when I was about 5-6 years old, and that's one of the things that kind of sparked that little, you know, performance, whatever you want to call it. You got to the stage, you got to see the lights, you got to do all that when you had your end of year recital, and I was like, yeah, I think I like this. But I didn't get into actual theater stuff, until my first production that I was involved with, I was in the fifth grade. This is my claim to fame. I don't know if it's fame so much, but the first role I ever played in any production anywhere was that of Grumpy Dwarf. Yes. Grumpy Dwarf in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, I'm sure there were rave reviews, and that's fantastic.
It was one performance, but it was so much fun. It wasn't until high school where I really got into working on the stage and mostly behind the scenes. I did a lot of work backstage, a lot of crew kind of stuff, until my junior year when I got on stage for the first time. So,
what is it about theater that interests you? Was it that performance that got you into it, that feel the rush of having a crowd, the audience type of thing, see you, or because you worked backstage as well? Mm-hmm. What is it about the idea of theater that appeals to you?
Well, I think for me, it's about working with like-minded people. It's about getting to meet new people, and it's about creating something from nothing. Because a lot of times when, early in my theater career, we would have nothing to put on a show. You know, it's that old adage, hey, I've got a barn. Oh, great. I've got some, you know, some wood in the corner. Let's do a show. Because you can make something from nothing. You know, it's hanging that sheet in your living room to create a stage. And that's really where this all starts from, I think. You know, people throughout time have been doing theater in their own way. You may not even think you are. If you're sitting around a campfire telling stories and that kind of thing, that's theater. I just think that there are some of us who are drawn to it, like a moth to a flame, and you can't get away.
That's fantastic. Now, you in high school, you worked behind the scenes on a number of productions as well?
As well. I actually did more work behind the scenes than on stage when I was in high school. My first show on stage, I think, I'm trying to remember the name of the show. I think it was The Mouse That Roared. I was on stage for that. Was the first one. Mr. Voss at Torrington High School was our director, and it was wonderful. There was also a children's production called The Prince Who Wouldn't Talk, and then my first musical, of course, which is still my favorite musical, was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Is it your favorite because it was your first?
Because it was my first.
That makes
and
sense.
I have I've had the opportunity to direct and choreograph that show several times and to be in it again, which was a lot of fun. So that I'll always hold a very special place for me. You know, I just have fond memories of that. Mary McVerry was our director, again, from Torrington High School. And really, I you know, if I had to say that there was one person or two people responsible for my jumping into this, I guess, feet first, I would say she would have to be one of those people. She taught theater, she taught English in high school, but she was just always so involved with the productions. And I kind of was like, you know, I can do that. I can do that. So. Yeah.
And was she in any way a mentor of any sort, or was did you have any mentors later who like worked with you on the fine tuning aspects of working behind the scenes?
You know, for me, I don't necessarily have, there weren't necessarily one person or two people. I was able to work with a lot of different people. And when I got out of college, I did a lot of performing and stage management and that kind of thing. And I got to work with some really, really incredible people. And a lot of them, most of them over at the Warner back in the earlier days. So I would say Mary from high school is one. But I had the opportunity to work with Jimmy Fritch and Rick Doyle and George Paris and these wonderful, wonderful people who, you know, you watch them. I watched them and I was in their productions and I got to be a sponge and you learn what works for them. And then you kind of, and for me, what I would do is, or when I directed my first show that I directed over at the Warner was Guys and Dolls in 1995.
That's a fun show.
It was a great fun show, but Jimmy Fritch was in it. I cast him as my Nathan Detroit.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was a little intimidating. I was fairly young at the time. I was one of the first female directors over at the Warner at that point. Donna Bonacera was the only other woman who had directed something before us.
Wow.
Or before me. And to have one of these men, gentlemen, directors who I considered to be one of my mentors in my cast, it's a little bit intimidating, to say the least.
How did it go? How did you?
It was great. It was great. And Jim said at one point in time, said to me, he's like, you know, I don't know why I waited so long to have you direct something. Because I'd been directing before that for Rainbow Summer Theater here in Torrington. It was a high school and college student group that every summer we would get together and put on a show. And this was before the Warner became so big and all the other community theaters sprouted up in the area. There was nothing for high school and college kids to do. So Chris Podlinski, Ron Corey, Sue Lack, Mark Ryan, and I'm forgetting one person. I can't remember who the other. They got together when they were high school students and formed Rainbow Summer Theater. My sophomore year of high school was the first time I had the opportunity to work with them in the summer. And from that point, I was hooked. I became an intern to their board of directors. I got on their board of directors. I was the president of the organization for a while, and I directed a lot of their summer productions. Rainbow Summer Theater has since ceased to exist. We used to do our productions down at the Co Park in Torrington. But that place has been the foundation for so many people's careers and interests in community theater.
That shows a lot of drive for somebody for your age at that time to want to become part of a board, mm-hmm. and to actually intern to then get to that point. So you worked at it and you worked hard to get to.
I produced my first show at 17.
That's incredible.
And it was The Unsinkable Molly Brown, which is not an easy show to produce, especially around here. It's not that popular. But I remember producing that show, and I remember ending up at the end of it. And it's not going to sound like much today, but we were $500 in the black. We made $500 on the show.
Congratulations.
And for me, first time out, Eugene Farley. Eugene Farley, that's the other name. Eugene was my, I guess you want to call him my mentor producer. He was kind of produced the shows up to that point. His philosophy was like, hey, just go in and do it. And so we did.
That's a fantastic philosophy to have, yep. You know, to jump in. And but clearly you had a lot. You had done your work before you got to that point. You had been working in theater behind the scenes. So you knew everything, all the components of it, correct?
Concurrently. I mean, I was doing it at the same time. And I think it was mostly high school shows at that point in time. Rainbow Summer Theater was really my first step outside of a school format, and really we were kids. We were, you know, high school kids and college kids running a show in a municipal building in downtown Torrington, and it was fantastic.
That is
it was fantastic.
That's an incredible story. I am so glad that you shared that, because now I'm going to delve a little bit further into it, and perhaps on another segment on another
Sure.
show. I'd love to learn more about that program, because I think that's so fantastic.
It was great. It was one of the things that, and again, having worked with the people that I got to work with, there, and having so much responsibility at such a young age. You were responsible for, you know, casts of 25, 30 kids, or I shouldn't say kids. Now I say kids, but, you know, they're your peers.
Sure.
It's not an easy thing to do, to tell your peers what to do, especially when you're saying you need to go out and sell ads for the Playbill so we can have money to do the show, you know, that kind of thing.
That's fantastic. Well, we're going to come, we've come to our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about your history. We're also going to talk more about some of the upcoming productions that you're involved with, that Sharon Wilcox is involved with the Warner Theater. We're going to be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm here in WAPJ Studios here on Water Street in Torrington, Connecticut, speaking with Sharon Wilcox. We're talking about her career in theater. I've just learned some amazing things for myself that I'm now going to research further about some of the early steps in theater for Sharon Wilcox. It's fantastic. I want to jump forward in time a little bit right now and kind of talk about the role that you are currently in, because it's an interesting juxtaposition from the early years to what you do now. What you do now is you are the executive producer for the Warner Theater. The Warner Theater has the Warner Stage Company, and every show is a fantastic show. So tell me about your roles, because I assume that there are many hats that you wear within that umbrella.
Hats. And I'm really fortunate. The executive charge of production / Warner Stage Company production manager is the full length title, but there's just so many words. but I guess it has to be that long to encompass all of the things that the job entails. You know, I do oversee all of the productions for the Warner Stage Company. We do, let's see, it's four main stage shows and then five different productions in the studio theater. So it's nine productions or nine events throughout the year that I would be responsible for.
And that's a huge number, because mm-hmm. we're talking about giant, when you say production, it's a giant production, but it's nine of them. So
we're talking almost one a month that we're responsible for. We rehearse depending on the production, whether it's a musical on the main stage. You know, the rehearsals can go anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks before. The studio theater productions, if it's a non-musical, you're looking at a minimum of 8 weeks rehearsal time. And then we also have one of those five productions in the studio theater is our Playwright Festival. And the Playwright Festival, depending on the year, this year we have nine different plays within that one festival.
Wow.
Ten. There's 10 plays, nine of them that were selected and one invited. So in essence, it's really, let's see, eight full-length productions and then 10 little productions. So 18 shows this year that we'll be working on.
That's incredible.
And it's from everything from gathering the rights and royalties and making sure that we have all of the technical elements that we need. If we need to bring in flying by foy like we did for Mary Poppins, or any other special effects that would have to. I oversee the selection of the directors, selection of the actors. You know, I bring in and hire, for lack of a better word, I guess, the directions, the production teams that put all of the shows together. Sometimes I direct one or two myself, but a lot of times I'm bringing in people from the outside who are either who have done stuff at the theater before or who come highly recommended.
And we're going to talk in the third segment about the upcoming festival.
Mm-hmm.
I want to save that entire segment just to talk
Absolutely.
About the festival, because I think that's really, really fascinating. And you got some fantastic shows coming
really
up
do.
Within that festival. So
we
I want to use that as the teaser to say, stay tuned to that third segment. I want to follow along, though, with the thread of creating productions at the Warner Theater, you have to start from the standpoint of selecting which plays to do. Is there a team? Is there something where people...
Me.
The team of Sharon Wilcox.
Right now, the selection of a season is a long process. We never really stop. But I will go out and find out from the royalty houses what shows are available, what shows are coming up that aren't available yet that might become available. Then I'll sit down and scour through the scripts and say, okay, how can we do this? What elements are in the show? Is it something that we can fit on our stage, or is it a show that's too small for the main stage? Because that's our biggest downfall, is our main stage is so big that there are only certain shows that will fit on it. Smaller, intimate shows I have to take a look at and see if they fit in the studio theater. And then once I come up with a list of potential shows, I'll go to our executive director, Lynn Gelarmino, and we'll sit down and kind of scour through what we've got and see what the best fit is. We always try to put together a season that kind of fits with each other. This year is a little different, where we have some more newer or more recent titles that they're just, again, it's not the old War Horses, the Carousels, the Rodgers and Hammerstein, the Oklahoma, that kind of thing, where we're doing things like Avenue Q and Once and the Full Monty and Little Mermaid. We have this season on the main stage, there's nothing. The Full Monty's the only show that's been done before, and that was probably almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it's an interesting thing this year.
But there's a lot of variety within the scope of what the Warner Theater does, because I mean, you go anywhere from Seussical, the musical, to Once. You have.
And then in the studio theater, the things like Agatha Christie or The Irish and How They Got That Way, which we try to have something in the season that will appeal to everyone. Now, is every show going to appeal to everybody? No, it's not. And there's just no one formula to make that work. And you have to look at year after year after year, what is our audience makeup? How is the audience changing? How do we need the audience to change too? Right now we're looking to bring in some younger people into the audience. I think our average age of an audience member is 55 to 65 now, maybe even a little bit older. We need to bring in the 35s and the 45s and the 25s and find things that will appeal for them as well.
From the standpoint of getting the younger audience involved, obviously somehow that was how you got hooked on theater, so
exactly.
to speak. And now that the opportunity presents itself by selecting certain plays, certain productions to engage a younger audience.
And you have, actors follow plays, or performers follow a certain title. They're looking to do a certain show because they want to play a certain character or they want to be involved in. And it's our job as producers to try to find the best mix of those shows to appeal to the most wide variety of performers. We have people coming from all over performing on our stage. Great Barrington, Kent, New Haven, Bridgeport, over in Millbrook, New York. We've got a really, really wide net that we've cast, and we're very fortunate that people are willing to drive, 45 minutes to an hour to come to rehearsals 3 nights a week to put in the time here. But we also have a stage that is unlike any other community theaters. Where else can you perform to a 1,700 seat house on a 55 foot wide stage? And it's pretty incredible.
It is. It's always an incredible time. I was just thinking as you were mentioning so many different actors coming from different locations, I was just thinking of the recent Peter and the Starcatcher, where basically it was kind of like an all-star cast of I recognize the extraordinary work that each individual person did on different shows, and then here they were all together
in one piece.
Incredible.
And I love the studio theater space as well as the main stage. The studio theater is almost more versatile, I think, because of its size. We can do some unique productions, and they're like Peter and the Starcatcher. We left Peter and the Starcatcher was the last show that was in there, and we're moving into Agatha Christie's, and then there were none. So talk about something that are two, on opposite ends of the spectrum, really. But we're able to do things like that. And there we have had done Charlie Brown Christmas in there.
That's
We've done
right.
Forever
That's
Plaid.
Right.
You know, so we're doing next year The Irish and How They Got That Way. And then Spring Awakening. So there's a whole, it's just that space is so versatile and we can maneuver the pieces around. And I love the studio theater space. It's almost, I almost like it better than the main stage, truly. But
it's very intimate. It's very, it's a wonderful, as an, as someone who's in the audience, I've, I really enjoy, now that I think about it, I did act once
yes,
on that
did.
Stage.
You
so
did.
That was
in one of the playwright festivals,
one
actually.
Of the playwright festivals. That was fantastic. In fact, that's an excellent lead in to our break. We're going to come and go to our break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about that festival. I'm so excited about this. It's going to be an incredible experience. 10 plays in a festival. You're going to love it. We're going to talk about it in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm here in studio with Sharon Wilcox. This has been a fantastic conversation. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And now we're going to talk about something that's going to be so incredible. It's going to be the Playwright Festival. First, let's just start up with the dates, just so people know the dates and times for this, festival.
This year's, it's the Warner Theater International Playwrights Festival. Will be on Friday, October 13th and Saturday, October 14th. In the Nancy Marine Studio Theater.
And how does it work in terms of a festival? Is one one ticket for both nights? Is it a ticket for two nights?
It's one ticket per each night.
For each night.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm not sure because, again, you know, you would think I would know this, right? But I'm not in with the box office. I'm not sure if we've got a package for both nights or not. But there could very well be.
Okay. That's not a problem. You know, it might be because with the festival idea, I'm sure there is going to be people who are going to want to see
absolutely
all of it.
We used to do it as a three-night festival, and there was a package for the three nights, but I'm not sure if we've done that because it's been moved down to two nights because what we found was that the audience on the Thursday night was not as large. So we figured we would like to try to make it a little bit smaller and get more people in on the two nights than spread them out over the three nights.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, tell me about the process for this mm-hmm. festival. Let's backtrack just for a quick second. How long has the festival been going?
This is the sixth year. This is our sixth anniversary. Charlene Donaghy is our festival director. She kind of manages the submissions for me and takes everything in. So, and this is pretty much the process that has been since the beginning. Charlene is a member of the Dramatist Guild. She is actually she's our invited playwright to the festival. She has a piece that will be, actually every year she's had a piece that performs on the Saturday evening. It's usually the first piece of the night that starts that particular night off. And this year is no different. We have a piece of hers called Italian Now that's opening the festival on Saturday night. But anyway, she basically puts out a call for scripts. And over the years, we have had to put a limit on the number of scripts that we can actually read. I don't remember the first year, but I know it was overwhelming. So we've set it to a limit that we will accept the first 200 scripts that come in. So usually in the beginning of the year, she'll put out a call sometime, I want to say March, April. The call will go out. The deadline will be end of June for submissions. Sometimes I think this year we went a little bit later. I think we went to July 15th was the first submissions for the first 200 plays that will come in. She then has a group of readers who do an amazing job of basically reading and screening all of those, the initial 200 entries. Then that we've set up a guideline is this is what we can produce, because with our festival, it's different than some others where we actually will produce or perform the full piece as opposed to just standing and reading it, doing it as a staged reading. So there are certain parameters that it has to fit. And that group weeds them down lack of a better word, to about 38 to 40 pieces. Which then Leah Demetric, who is our chairperson for the Warner Stage Company Committee, and myself along with Charlene, we go through and read. And we have a rubric, a scoring sheet that we follow based on how, you know, how well will this do within our festival? Does it meet the criteria? Can we easily produce it? Do we have the ability to cast it? Because sometimes we get some that have some interesting casting requirements that just won't fit here. And then we'll weed it down again to that. Initially, it used to be 15 pieces, and now we're down to 9 pieces plus the one invited that get performed.
Wow. And you know what? There's a variety within that, because these individual readers who must be reading these hundreds, if you will, of submissions, they're looking for quality, but not necessarily the same kind of play. Because the one thing that I noticed about the Playwright Festival is just the sheer variety of entertainment, of drama. Some are very funny, some are very moving, some are experimental, and all engaging. And I think that's really fascinating.
And I believe each play in its initial pass-through gets at least two different people reading it. So it has to score a certain, you know, we base it on a 1, 2, or 3. A 1 means you definitely want to see it in the festival. A 2 means that we could see it in the festival, but it needs some work. And 3 means just not at this time. It won't work for us right now. And that's the basic. So if they score enough 1s and 2s, they get past that first initial round.
And tell me about directing these pieces, because I understand you're going to be directing.
I am directing 2 pieces this year. I've actually directed 1 or 2 pieces in the previous ones, too. I love new works. I love things that haven't been done before. And we have some really unique... there's unique pieces. I'm doing 2 this year. One is called Signing Off. And actually it's a Connecticut playwright, Stephen, and I cannot pronounce his last name. So I apologize right now for not being able to. I think it's Ortfinski. It's just a wonderful, wonderful piece. And then the second piece I'm doing is called A Lighter Shade of Dave. Not a Connecticut playwright. And of course I'm terrible right now. His name just went right out of my head. I should look it up. But one is on Friday night and one is on Saturday night. I have fantastic casts. I don't really want to give a lot away.
No.
The signing off has to do with a, romance book, a romance novel writer is having a book signing, and the husband of one of her avid readers who has come to have a book signed, is the premise of 1. And then the other one, A Lighter Shade of Dave, involves a family, a mother and daughter. The daughter has gone out for a celebration evening. It's supposed to be an engagement party that really nobody knows about, and runs into her parents at this particular watering hole, and the events that surround or come up out of that. You find them talking in the parking lot.
This is going to be a fantastic program. It's going to be so great for you to have 2 productions, one on the Friday night, one on the Saturday night. It's going to be a huge deal. I highly encourage, based on my past experience, personal experience in acting in one, and then and also in seeing them, just how great this festival is.
We have a wonderful slate of directors again this year, too. Who've got fantastic actors brought together. You know, Keith Paul is directing another one. Taryn Glasser is directing one. Wes Baldwin, Catherine Ray, Tony Leone, Lucia Dressel, Matt Cornish. I think I'm missing somebody. Me. It's a wonderful slate of directors and a wonderful slate of plays this year.
Wow. We're coming up the end of the program. It's only whetted my appetite for further discussion about the festival. I'm so looking forward to it. Sharon, thank you so much for coming in. Could I invite you to please come back in again so we can talk more about your work, about your history in theater, and about the upcoming plays?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sharon Wilcox. Sharon Wilcox from the Warner Theater. Now, Meg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for Counterspin at 3:30, then at 4 p.m., The Hotspot with Darcy, a fantastic program locally produced, focusing on the musicians and businesses in the area. Thank you for listening to the Nutmeg Chatter, and now we conclude our chat.